Good evening, people of God, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your facilitator, Apostle Myrtle Johnson. Once again, I do welcome you. It is my pleasure to come to you by way of your home, your automobiles, or wherever you may find yourself at currently, glory be to God, to just unveil the Word of God unto you in a whole nother dimension. On tonight, we're going to talk about God versus mammon. God versus mammon. Jesus did not throw words around, so it is significant that he used the word mammon at least four times in the New Testament. When he used it, he did not simply mean money. He deliberately used the word mammon to show us what happens when we become attached to money. But mammon's influence does not just stop with wealth. If we are not vigilant, the spirit will extend to every area of our lives and convince us to trust it instead of God, the true and the living God. It tries to motivate us to do things for it versus doing things for God, with the goal of replacing God as the source of that which we need. In the book of Exodus, the Spirit convinced the people that they did not need God, and its strategy has not changed even today. This evil spirit will deliberately lead us astray and abandon us, but God will always extend his mercy and his grace to us when we are in the need of it. Amen. Mammon is not money. It is a spirit. It is the spirit of deceitful riches that lies to us. In the book of Luke, chapter number 16, verses 10 through 14, it lets us know, he who is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. Are we faithful to God in our money, in the area of money? Glory to God. Jesus' parable, as well as the entire chapter, is about a steward who was unfaithful with his master's good because he was influenced by the spirit of mammon. The original translation of mammon is deceitful riches. Money with the spirit of mammon on it becomes deceitful. Money is neither good nor is it bad. It takes on the spirit of its owner, of the person who has it. How it is used will depend on whether its owner is under the influence of God or whether its owner is under the influence of mammon. Mammon refers to the desire to pursue wealth as its primary goal in life. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto us, in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse number 33. The devil took Jesus up to a high mountain in the book of Matthew 4, 8 and verse 9. The devil took Jesus up to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. Mammon tried to even seduce Jesus. There is no reason not to think it would not try to do the same thing to us as believers. Amen. Whatever mammon offers to us is deceitful. Everything from this spirit is designed to fool us into thinking that walking with it will end well, but mammon does not leave us living a fruitful life. Mammon will always leave us falling into a shallow pit. In the book of Luke, chapter number 19, verses 2 through 24, I'm giving you all a lot of scriptures on tonight, but you can go back in your own spare time and read those scriptures in order to get a greater understanding of what the Lord is saying to us, even in this teaching on tonight. But in the book of Luke 19, 20, verse 2 through 24, the Bible lets us know, that when Jesus entered Jericho, Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see him as he passed by. Jesus looked up, and he saw him, and he said to Zacchaeus to come down quickly because he had to stay at his house that day. Jesus then told another parable to teach us the link between money and its faithfulness. Zacchaeus first felt the favor of God when Jesus looked up and greeted him. Zacchaeus had previously been under the spirit of mammon, but a meeting with Jesus freed him to become a giver. Many in this hour are under the influence of the spirit of mammon, where they try to hold on to their possessions in fear that no more finances is going to come, and therefore they shortchange God. That, in fact, is the love of money in action. In 1 Timothy 6, verse number 10, the Bible tells us, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not that money is evil, but when it becomes, when we get to a place where we love it more than we love God, and we are not willing to relinquish unto him what is rightfully due unto him, then it becomes an evil possession. We must be careful not to unwittingly make mammon our God. In Philippians 4 and 6, the Bible tells us to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, hallelujah. We are told to be anxious for nothing, but anxious, but being anxious even about our unmet needs is a sign that we are worshiping mammon. In the book of Matthew 6:24-32, the Bible lets us know that no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to one, and he will band against the other. We cannot serve God and deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever we put our trust in. We must stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about how our needs will even be met, for the Bible tells us that he is Jehovah, Jireh, our provider. And therefore, he will supply everything that you stand in the need of. Money is not your source, people of God. It is simply a resource that God has released into the hands of the believer that helps the kingdom of God to advance and to move forward. Amen. Any aim at and to strive for first the kingdom of righteousness and his way of doing things. So, people of God, I want to encourage you on tonight. Not to be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its own worries and anxieties of its own. That today, everything that we need is sufficient in God. So when we know that, we don't have to be worried and concerned. All we have to know is to put our faith and trust in God and to be obedient to his word. When we live in the present instead of the future, the Holy Spirit will give us the grace needed for the moment. We need not to fear the future or what's going to happen even on tomorrow. On today, what the Lord is desiring to do is he want to break us free from the spirit of mammon. Christ warns against the spirit of mammon in the book of Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 14. Mammon was the name of the Syrian god of riches and money, and the name of a demon in Milton's Paradise Lost and Spencer's Fairy Queen. In the biblical sense of the word, mammon is the spirit that rests on money. All money has a spirit impacting it, whether it is God's spirit or the spirit of mammon. Mammon, who is also Satan, is a direct contrast to the spirit of Christ. Mammon will tell you to buy and keep, where God said to sow and reap. Glory to God. Mammon will say to cheat and steal, while God says to give and to receive. Mammon is looking in this hour for servants. It wants to rule your life and take the place of God, according to Luke 16 and verse number 13. Mammon promises only what God can give: insecurity, significance, identity, independence, power, and freedom. Only God, Jesus Christ, who is Lord, can give those things. Amen. Mammon is selfish and God is generous. Mammon will say that you don't have to give God anything. You don't have to sow into the kingdom of God. You don't have to be a blessing to the kingdom of God for the work of the Lord to continue to go forth. But the Spirit of God will say, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Glory to God. If you want to really see the manifestation of the promises of God flowing in your life, one of the keys to that in the kingdom of God is to be a giver. Amen. To be a giver, to be a tither, to sow into the body of Christ. But mammon will tell you that you don't have to do that. It don't take all of that. Mammon either tries to insulate us from life's problems or to get us to dwell on them. Money is not our security. God is. When you see that people are only happy when they have money, that's because money is their God. For the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So regardless of what our situation may be or where we may find ourselves at in life, we can find joy in Jesus Christ because he is our hope. He is our resurrected Savior. He is the great I am. Whatever you need him to be, you can find all sufficiency in God. When you find that you're in Lodi Bar if you don't have any money, if you find that, I'm not going to have a mentality or a mindset, I'm not giving anything to the body of Christ, or I'm not giving anything into the kingdom of God, I'm not going to tithe, I'm not going to give offerings unto the Lord, it could be that a spirit of mammon has attached itself. The voice of mammon is always speaking out into the atmosphere, trying to confuse us regarding the principles of God. Mammon especially talk to us when we are trying to give to the Lord and say, it don't take all that. You don't have to give that to God. If God is laying on your heart to give, then I encourage you to give because a blessing is going to come behind you giving. Glory be to God. Mammon is always trying to prevent or discourage us from giving and being generous. Is money evil? Someone may ask that question. Is money evil? No, money is not evil, but the love of it is evil. When we gear our life around it, it becomes evil. Given the first root principle, could unrighteous mammon be money that has not been redeemed? How are we to respond to what Timothy says? God is just trying to get us to understand through the book of Timothy that we should not put anything higher than him. If we prestige money higher, on a pedestal of higher, in a place of hierarchy, higher than our Lord Jesus, then money has become an idol unto us, and therefore it becomes evil. Glory be to God. But money itself is not evil. Money can be used for righteousness or it can be used for unrighteousness. God wants us to use our money to win souls and to build the kingdom of God, not to build our own selfish kingdom and neglect the things of God. God takes our money, he blesses it, and he turns it into blessing souls and cultivating the environment so that the word of God can continue to go forth so that people can get an opportunity to hear the word of God on so many different levels, glory to God. That's why the enemy would want to tell us not to give, so that we would not be able to build the kingdom of God. God takes our money and he blesses it, glory to God. The more we give, the more opportunity to win souls into the kingdom of God. God is looking for people that he can entrust in this hour with much. Glory be to God. For the Bible says that to much that is given, much is required. Part of us, the Lord is saying, can I trust you even in small things, with the lesser things? Money is a lesser thing, glory to God. But some people take money and make it a more valuable thing, oh God, then they do God, hallelujah. But on tonight, we want to turn this thing around so that we're not worshiping money, but we see that money is, and we put money in its proper perspective, that it is not our God, but it is simply a resource in order to advance the kingdom of God. Mammon has friends, and its friends are pride, greed, and poverty. These are just a couple of the things that run circumspectly with mammon. Pride will say that you don't need God, you don't need to do what the Lord is telling you to do. Greed will say that it's all about me and me only and not about helping anyone else. Poverty will say, well, God knows my heart. He know what I don't have. Yes, he do know what you don't have. But are you willing to give of what you have in order to advance the kingdom of God? Think about the lady or the woman in the Bible who had only a mite to give. That mite was more valuable to God. It's not about how much you give, but it's about the fact that you are willing to give. Amen. She only had that mite, and God took what she had, and he blessed it. He stretched. Oh, God, he stretched her revenue, that in which she had, in order to live off of. Think about the lady she was also a mother, and she took the oil that she had, and she made a cake, and she gave it unto the man of God, and how the Lord took her took what she had and who stretched it, and she was able to provide for her child. That's how God took the revenue, took what she had and produced revenue. Glory to God. That is how you know that money is not your God. Hallelujah. When you are willing to give of the very little that you have in order that God can take it and multiply. I just feel by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God on tonight, that God want to take somebody's little and multiply it into much. Glory be to God. You see, the spirit of poverty will cause you to be ashamed of being a blessing unto God because you may only have that one night like the widow had. Glory be to God. But when you're giving God your best, we ought not to be ashamed of what we bring unto God. The spirit of pride does not acknowledge God or the blessings of God. Amen. But the spirit of pride will keep you thinking that what the little that you may have may not be enough to even give. But on today, God is trying to bless us. Glory be to God. He's trying to get us to a whole new place in him where we can receive the blessings and walk in the blessings of the promises that he had for us and for our life. But we've got to be willing to be givers. Glory to God. The spirit of greed causes us to hold on, try to hold on to everything that we have and neglecting God even the more. That will keep you at a place of despondency. That will keep you at a place separated from God. That will keep you at a place where because nothing is flowing, the spirit realm is always a duel. Something dual is always going on. Blessings and curses. Amen. When we choose to make money our God, we open the door and the venue for the blessings to be blocked or stopped. But we want our blessings to continue to flow. Glory be to God. When someone says that's a nice car that you have, pride says it's the newest import and it's loaded with all the options. I paid a bundle for it. Poverty says we brought it from my brother to help him out in order to keep it. Really was a piece of junk and it was very cheap. Greed will say don't even think about borrowing. Glory be to God, because I only have what I need. But gratitude will say, thank you, hallelujah, and you will be willing, glory be to God, to be your brother or your sister's keeper and to help them out when you know that there is a need, not linked with pride, not linked with greed, and not linked with poverty, glory be to God. You see, then comes when pride causes us to compare ourselves with others. That is a true sign right there that the spirit of mammon could very well be in operation. Poverty will cause us to compare what we have with what somebody else has and will cause competition to come in. Greed don't care because greed will tell us that it's all about us. I get what I get. If you don't get it, then that's on you. That is a spirit of greed. Amen. So don't fall into the comparison trap that Satan will try to link up with the spirit of mammon, glory be to God, rightfully relating to the things of God. God not only uses our stuff to test us, but he uses other people's stuff as well. He did that in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 21. How then do we respond to someone else being blessed? Will say a lot about the condition of our heart. My God, how we respond when God blesses someone else. When God gives someone else a job, how do we respond to it? Are we happy for them, or is there jealousy and enviousness in our heart? It will really tell also our place of maturity in God. The spirit of mammon will keep us at a place where we are bound, where we can no longer grow in the things of God, because now it all becomes about us and us having money and nothing else. God doesn't care if we have stuff. He cares if our stuff have us. Ah, this secondo boshe. Handabasataba secondo boshe. God does not care about our stuff. He only cares if our stuff have us. God versus mammon. Are we allowing our stuff to control us? Are we allowing what we have to be the God of us, where we can't utilize our stuff to give God glory and to give him honor? When we cannot allow God to utilize what he has blessed us with, it could be a spirit of mammon that is in operation. What do we do with our abundance? Ah, my God, what do we do? God is saying, those that are listening on this line, he said, I'm going to put you in a place where abundance is your portion. Abundance is going to rest on your life, where your life will be fruitful and you will begin to multiply. And every area of your life. But he said, when I bless you, don't allow the blessings to control you. When he gives you this, are you going to take what he has blessed you with and turn around and use it to the glory of God? When he blessed you with that mansion, are you going to be willing to open the door to someone that may be homeless? Are you going to invite those to come in and share what God has blessed you with in order to give him glory? It may not be that he have you to take people into your home, but it may simply be that your home become a place of worship where others also can worship God with you, that your home can be a place where God can dwell. Or will we say that, no, I'm not going to pray in my home, no, I'm not going to do that? Well, then we are allowing our possessions to replace God, and he don't want anything to replace him. When we have the mindset and the mentality to keep, save, and invest, it could be that we will not utilize our resources to give God glory. In your own spare time, read the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 20, and it will show you about when we hold on, we hoard, we save. Some of us have so much stuff in our homes that it's just like we're hoarders. We hoard, whether it's clothes, whether it's money, whether it's material things, and our homes become overconsumed. We're hoarders, but surely we can take those things and bless somebody else. We don't even utilize that stuff. Are we a hoarder? What are you doing with your abundance? Do you frivolously spend? That could be another category that you find yourself in. James 4, 1 through 3, read it in your own spare time, people of God, where you just spend, racking up credit card bills, racking up this, racking up that, material things, vacationing, whatever it may be. Don't get me wrong. God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to be fruitful and multiply. But are we overspending above our means but not giving God anything? We hold back on God, but we go and we spend lavishly on whatever pleases our flesh. Examples may be going out eating all the time but putting a dollar in the offering plate when the offering plate comes around, not acknowledging God in our giving, in our finances, in our resources, and what he has blessed us with. People of God, do we not realize that it's God who allowed us to have a job to go on to work? How dare we not give and sow into the kingdom of God? You know, that basically, we pray and we ask God to bless us with these material things, but then when God bless us, we allow the spirit of mammon to come in and infiltrate and become our portion. Okay, now that God has blessed us with a job, we won't give God anything. We ask God for an increase. He give us a raise, and we still won't give him anything. That is a spirit of mammon that is in operation. Or are we givers? Glory be to God. I just feel by the power of the Holy Ghost that somebody that is listening by way of airwaves wants to see the blessings of God flowing in their life like they've never seen before. A principle of the kingdom is learn to be a giver. Ah, my God. When you learn to become, to be a giver in the kingdom of God, I'm telling you, God will open, according to Malachi 3, God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you will not even have room enough to receive. God will begin to bless you on every hand. God will begin to rebuke the devourer. God will begin to cause healing to begin to flow and manifest in your life. God will begin to elevate you. He will begin to increase the anointing that rests on your life. To much that is given, much is required. Are we making our resources? Are we making our finances our God? Or can God trust us? He said, can I trust you in little things? Glory be to God. Money to God is a little thing. But so many times we cause that little thing to become our big God, where everything is governed around it. what versus the God that give us the ability to go and get it. He said in the Old Testament somewhere, I'm the God that give you the ability to create or to get wealth. Glory to God. So God will give you the ability to cause what you have to multiply. That is one of the things of the kingdom of God. When you give, God will multiply. He will begin to release things unto you, that blessings that you haven't even asked for. Blessings will be looking for you. And they will begin to track your life down, because God sees that I can trust you with what the true riches of the kingdom of God. He's trying to help us on this line on tonight to get that understanding. When we stop being scrunchers of what he had and be able to say, God, everything that I own belongs to you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everything that is in the earth belongs to God. So what we have is just a temporary thing that God has given us to be a steward over. Are we a good steward over what God has entrusted unto us? Just like in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he talked to them in parables. And one of the parables was that he was talking to them. You can look it up and read it in your own spare time. But in one of the parables, and I'm paraphrasing for time's sake, he gave. And in him giving, he gave each one talent. And one took the talents and utilized it to bring God glory. The other one, we're talking about mammon versus God. Another one took the talent that God gave and held on to it and kind of said, well, I'm just going to put it away, and when I need it, I'll bring it out. Then there was another one that did not do anything with it. That was because the one that did not do anything with it, the one that took what he had and held on to it, those were the ones that were operating under the spirit of mammon. But the one that was willing to relinquish all that he had to God, God took the talents and he multiplied it. Glory be to God. You see, mammon doesn't always have to be about money. It's about the resources, the riches, glory be to God, of this world. Are we willing to take whatever God has blessed us with and allow God to utilize it for his glory at whatever capacity he chooses to use it at? Are we willing to allow the Lord to use us, that he can be glorified in us and through us? We're talking about God versus mammon. Are we making other things our idols, where they have more precedence in our life? God wants to tear down. He wants to rip down and destroy the idols. You see, the thing about idols, people of God, idols will cause the blessings to stop flowing in our lives. Ah, Shabbat, Sata. The reason why a lot of times we go through these cycles of struggle, we go through these cycles of poverty, we go through these cycles of brokenness, is because when we look at that thing, are we giving God what is due his name? It does not mean that we're always going to be in a place where we have all this money and all this stuff flowing, but it means that God will supply whatever it is that you need. Whenever you are obedient to God, read it for yourself in the book of Deuteronomy 28. It starts out by telling us, if we are obedient to God, then A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. He will bless you going in and bless you coming out. The fruit of your wombs will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Glory to God. You see, we have to even take our children and dedicate them back to the Lord. That's saying, God, have your way in their life. Glory to God. That stops the enemy from trespassing past their life and blocking and stopping their destiny, because now they belong to God. We've got to be willing, people of God, to give God our all. Give God our ministries. Allow him to be first. Give God our gifts, our talents, whatever treasures he, through the Holy Spirit that he has placed on the inside of us. Utilize what God has given you to bring him glory. Whatever gifts he has given unto you, people of God, use those gifts to bring him glory and watch him cause your life to become fruitful. Hallelujah. So even as we leave off of this line on tonight, the biggest thing that I want you to be able to understand is be willing to relinquish your all to the glory of God, whether it's material, whether it's physically, whether it's spiritually, whether it's emotionally, whether it's mentally. Yield even your body to be used by God. Even on this line on tonight, God, we yield our hands to your glory, that you can use my hands, God, to just worship and praise you. God, we yield our eyes to you, that you can use our eyes to see past the normal into the realm of the spirit. God, we yield our tongue unto you. We're not going to yield our tongue. We're not going to yield our bodies to the God of this world, but we're going to yield ourselves completely to you to be used for your glory, that nothing will be a hindrance to us propelling to even greater dimensions in you, God. So, Father, as we leave off this line on tonight, continue to manifest your spirit in our lives like never before and use us for your glory. And, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, we adore you. Continue to be with us. Bless every household that has an opportunity to hear this word that's going to go by way of airwaves. And, Father, I thank you and I praise your name in Jesus' name. You are really blessed. Join me right back here on next Monday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. via Blog Talk Radio. This is your facilitator, Apostle Myrtle Johnson. Until next week, do be blessed.